Fast of Tammuz is this Sunday, and it's the Wim Fast. It's from daybreak till we declare the fast over.
What time are we meeting here?
We will meet at 2.
Did we skip over the fast? Is that what your first thought?
Wow. Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We had 100 days of it, so
we skipped them because of the...
Did we do Fast of Ab, though?
No.
Last year?
No. I know we did the Fast of Ab.
No, we did the... We skipped the Fast of Tammuz and Fast of Ab because we were in the middle of the Nazarite vow.
The big fast.
But then the deal that we did was that when we declared everything over was in Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, yeah.
Yom Kippur was the total thing. That's just like Ab.
The cat came, that's Yom Kippur.
Certainly one of my favorite days.
Yeah, it's Perry's favorite day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not.
What's your favorite day? When we broke the fast? That's worse.
Well, fundamentally,
it's no different. But anyway, who just left?
Greg Richter. Who else?
We need to. We'll meet. There's a jillion readings for the Fast of Tammuz. We read Daniel and Bel and the Dragon and Susanna. And the Book of. Anyway, so there's a lot of interesting readings. Okay. You remember that there's this thing about the Fast of Tammuz and the Fast of Ab. It's really an important concept. It's the 21 days of being between the straits. And spiritually, in the flesh, what happened both at the time of Nebuchadnezzar and then at the time of Titus and then at the time of Hadrian is the opposing army had reached the wall of the city and broken through the wall on the Fast of Tammuz. And 21 days later, the temple was destroyed. And so it happened in each of the three times when they were either had rebuilt or attempting to rebuild the temple, that all the bad stuff in the universe began to happen to the natural Israel, began to happen on the Fast of Tammuz, and then was destroyed, on the Fast of Ab. Now the reason that the rabbis say that the reason all this good stuff happens to them, or bad stuff happened, is this is the day that the law was shattered the first time when Moses came down off the mountain. And God sealed this day. I mean, he was so mad that the law was shattered that he sealed this day in time. So that on the 17th of the month of Tammuz, always bad stuff happens. Begins to happen. Then you're between the straits for 21 days, and then on the 9th of Ab, the month of Ab, is when the really bad stuff happens. Now, Zechariah, in the 8th chapter of Zechariah, says, let's go there. Go to Zechariah 8. I know you guys like to know Zechariah.
I like to see you. Yes.
Next to
left. Is there a Zechariah, or is it?
Zechariah, Z-E-C-H, Zechariah.
So it is.
There's only two Z guys. There's Zechariah and Zephaniah.
Okay.
We're not at Zephaniah. We're at Zechariah.
That's going to be the name of my first two sons.
Oh, yeah, right.
Build that.
She's going to punch her out.
Yeah, it's good. It's a real
do the famous Ed Housewright smack. One time, you guys missed this. Remember Pete?
Passes being dredged up.
Remember Pete?
He's been doing this all
day.
Pete, sweet Pete. Pete used to be even skinnier than he is now and littler than he is now.
And
Ed was bigger than he is now.
Yeah. He's shrunk over there.
Look at his face.
You gotta hear this.
No, you gotta put you.
There's a couch, much like that couch. And it was an evening, much like
any evening.
I'm sitting where Tyra's sitting.
Yeah.
Pete's sitting where Jackie's sitting.
Right.
So you were.
And Pete says something.
We're just doing reenactment.
He was having. I mean, we're talking. This one, you can't believe the problems this one had.
I don't even know what they were now, but they were bad at the time. They must have been bad.
I mean, he constantly was every. He was just whining, moaning every day, every time he came to Bible study.
Yes, that has changed basically.
Right now you'd projectile over it, but time is the important stuff.
So anyway, so he's complaining about something, and Pete says, Pete repeats some religious cliche.
Be at rest.
Yeah, be at rest.
He wouldn't stop looking at me. It's like Jackie's looking at Tyrus like this. You know, the whole time I'm crying or doing whatever I'm doing. You know.
He's looking.
He's
right?
Earnest.
He's looking at me.
He's waiting for an opportunity to
use get, another cliche.
Right? To use a cliche. To be a nice plastic Jesus. Ooh. Right? And so Pete says, just be at rest, Ed. And Ed goes, wow! With all that power, and gets in the face.
Oh,
this little sweet Pete. And Pete's mouth is all bloody.
His blood running down.
Oh, I don't like the blood.
Yeah, well, that's what he means. There was blood. Blood.
I don't remember.
And a white shirt.
His jaw was dislocated.
He shed the blood.
He was in the hospital.
They had to rush him to the hospital.
No,
actually,
but it cut.
We've back. All thought about doing that when people said religious things.
Well, actually, we've all thought about doing that.
What these fasts are intended to accomplish is to show that is to show the death of sensory perception, so that you know how in the month of Ramadan in Muslim religion and Islam, they fast during the day. They fast for 30 days, but it's during the day only. Well, it came from this custom that was started thousands of years before. From the fast of Tammuz, which is on the 17th of the month Tammuz, until the 9th of Av, those 21 days, the Jews fasted for during the day only. They ate no, not everybody, but the ones that were spiritual, the rabbis, fasted for the daytime for those 21 days. Now the reason they did it was to break this, and they've written about this. I mean, it's wild. Just within the last few years, they found that it takes 21 days to break a habit. I mean, that you. But what they do is, if there was anything that you were under the control of, they fasted from it for that 21-day period. And we'll see in Daniel, there's more of it about it. But the idea here is that even though you're denied from the flesh, there's no satisfaction from those things that normally gratify you, during this time, these readings like this one, which is Zechariah 8, were read. And it talks about transforming this fast, which is normally a fast of strife and et cetera, into a day of joy, a time of joy. Now, I mean, just let me give you an example. Okay, again, it just happens this way because Harry's always like, I watched Harry use sugar today at two different meals.
I knew you were doing that.
I could not believe how much sugar he puts on his food. And the stuff that does to your body is incredible. But again, if you would hear that there is a problem with sugar, that it's something that you're becoming addicted to, then what you would do during the 21 days is fast from it. Or whatever it is. I mean, it's the same kinds of thinking for everyone. If food is becoming, it doesn't matter whether you eat too much, don't eat enough, or whatever it is, the idea of getting it out of your system is you fast from it. I mean, you do exactly what, you don't give it any breath, you fast from it totally.
As a meaningless assignment, the cigarette thing is almost gone. It's almost over. Once or twice a day, it comes back, but it's not there. But I really, I'm craving sweet stuff. I really,
oh.
I don't know. I mean, that's more sugar than I used to use.
Anyway, so the reading that you'll find this strange in that this reading about for a fast is really, it's the restoration of life. Okay, so let's read it.
8:1.
Would you start over there somewhere? We always start either there or there or there, so let's start there.
Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus
now stop a minute. We miss this in English. In Hebrew, this is a big deal. Remember, I told you in all of Genesis, the word of the Lord only came on that one occasion? Here. No, and throughout the prophets and the writings, the word of the Lord is constant. Constant appearing.
Wow.
Okay.
Thus saith the Lord, I am returned into Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain.
Okay, now stop again. I'm sorry, we're going to go to Revelation. Keep your finger there. And go to Revelation chapter 11. In chapter 11, verse 7, And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, I want you to hear that, because they're talking about the word of the Lord coming to at a time in the future to Jerusalem, but it can't be the Jerusalem that's over there, because that Jerusalem that's over there is called Sodom and Egypt. In other words, it wasn't really Jerusalem. It was only a picture, a type. Got it?
Yeah.
Well, I never saw that.
Yeah.
So this is, if you ever get in an argument with a Pharisee, this is a real handy scripture to have.
Write this down.
Write this one. Whip Revelation 11. You can't say whip it out, Jackie.
Especially to a Pharisee.
You can't.
Just reading the Holy Word.
She said that again.
She's sitting next to me.
Yeah,
you guys have ruined this tape.
Okay. Here in Zechariah, it's talking about these great things, the promises of that will take place in Jerusalem. Okay? And we're going to read more of it. More of it. Now, in Revelation, and so the Pharisees, the fundamentalists, will say, well, it's talking about the city of Jerusalem that's now in the nation of Israel. We spiritually know that can't be true because of, this is one of, there's another one in Hebrews 13, but here's one place. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That Jerusalem that now is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, or that's really, I mean, there's almost no thing worse than they could say of it, about it. So, and it says the same, in Hebrews 13, it talks about we are not come unto the place that can be touched, we are come unto the heavenly Jerusalem. And then in Paul says in Galatians that the Jerusalem which is above, which is the mother of us all, we're not part of the Jerusalem that now is. That's the bondwoman. But spiritually, it means far more than that. The purpose of the Fast of Tammuz is the destruction of your Jerusalem. The idea that is that you would have arrived on the Fast of Tammuz, you would have arrived at the wall of the city, and then in the Fast of Ab, the city would be destroyed. Now, where is your Jerusalem? Your Jerusalem, by definition, is where you are getting your rules of behavior. You understand? Where you're getting your system of thought. That is the Jerusalem, that is your Jerusalem. Now, it could be for denominationalism, if you're in the Assembly of Gods, it's in Springfield, Ohio, you know, up here. If you're a Catholic, it's in Rome. If you're, you know, wherever it is. If you're just a secularist, it's wherever you happen to be. You know, no, if you're a secularist, if you're a secular humanist, it's Norman Lear. You know, I mean, your Jerusalem that now is wherever you are getting your rules of behavior, your how you live your life. Now, where is that for most of you? Yeah, but it's right here. But it's right here, vis-a-vis what we talked about this morning. It's right there with regard to a imagined view of something. Either imagined view of your parents, or an imagined view of some system of thought, or imagined view of something. In other words, it's always a projection. There isn't anything really there. Your mind has just projected you into a Jerusalem that has... It's where you go for sustenance, where you go for rules of behavior, where you go for life, really.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm having trouble seeing mine.
Where your Jerusalem is?
Yeah. It's the alternate reality you constructed. I constructed.
Whenever you think about anything, really, that's not happening right now, basically. I mean, when you...
You're
going to go this, or when I get another job, blah, 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 or this other, if I had another job, then it would be better.
Let me help you try to find yours by pointing out other people's.
Somebody over there.
Ed's Jerusalem.
I noted. I noted. Well, somebody had to be right.
And a darn fine Jerusalem it is.
Ed's Jerusalem is his parents, is his family. That's where his definition of himself was forged. That's where his test of reasonableness was made. That's where everything real and that everything is tested against that family life, that memory. Now, what has to happen to Ed, beginning at the Fast of Tammuz this Sunday, is the armies which are allegedly, he thinks of them as his enemies, are going to come and tear down the wall that he's built around his city. And as the wall is, once the wall is down, the battle is over. It may take a few days to get there. No. But as a practical matter, once the wall is down, then the battle is over. Jerusalem is more slippery, and that's why he does such trouble, because he always turns to air, because his Jerusalem is not quantifiable. His Jerusalem is a movable thing. It's
more or next.
Or what?
More or next.
Yeah, it's either more or next, or, but it has to have this component of, the best way it can be described is his Jerusalem that now is exclusively his. It cannot be shared with anyone. And he has to see, in order for that wall to be destroyed, he has to see and admit to the abject loneliness and despair that's really his life. Understand? Now, then, you know, Tyra's Jerusalem is romanticized. It's a place that she created as a little girl where there was an alternate reality where she didn't have to face what her family, her life. I mean, it's some alternate reality where it's playing dolls, it's playing dress up, it's playing. So it's an instant escape to it, and again, the walls have to crumble on that one to see that when the walls crumble, it's like they really crumble on that one. I mean, there's only.
It's more like not. Not so much like playing. I mean, it's playing the dolls and playing the dress up, but it's a turning something so that I don't feel it.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, it's like nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah. It's schizophrenia is what it is. That's another story.
Hey, but so.
Yeah, I'm schizophrenic.
But anyway, does that help you?
Mirrors.
It's where you go for sustenance, where you go to determine how you're going to respond to these new situations or a different set of circumstances. Now, that Jerusalem is where, first of all, the evil one is going to kill the two witnesses, prophecy and wisdom. And they're going to fall in those streets. And it's where, spiritually, it's Sodom, or the world, and I mean Sodom, this place of ultimate evil, and it's just the world.
And where the Lord is crucified.
And where the Lord is crucified. Where you've crucified the Lord is where it should say. You understand? So that's where we're moving into when we begin to destroy this wall that you've built to protect yourself. Now, do you understand? It may be a common city. I mean, there may be a whole bunch of residents in the same city. Or it may be, but it's all the Jerusalem that now is. It's all needs to be flattened.
What do you mean when you say it could be a common city?
Well,
several people may have the same Jerusalem.
Bunches of people have the same one. Now, what happens the enemy, the evil one, that's not true. On the first occasion when they destroyed Jerusalem, the first time in Nebuchadnezzar's time, they didn't leave every stone. They left some of the stones standing. And so what happened, eventually, the Jerusalem was built up again. But at the time of Titus, there was not one brick on top of another brick. There was not one stone on top of another stone. In fact, it was so totally and completely destroyed that they plowed it over and planted.
Wow.
Now, that's, if you happen to have that Jerusalem as your home, that's really bad news. Mm-hmm. But if you can see spirit, that's the best news there is. Then your Jerusalem is destroyed and there's no possibility of it being resurrected.
It's like going through the 12 sins or something with a flower. Extremely well meat.
You walk on your high place. Right. You plant grass in your high place. Joke on them. It doesn't. Okay. Now, we're reading now. Let's go back to Zechariah. We never get anything done.
We're not efficient. We're not here to be efficient.
Moving around.
Who's reading? You lost total control. You made three verses and wasted a half hour. Last time we'll have Torah woman read.
We may have to postpone the fast.
Yeah.
Gee. Torah woman.
Oh no.
Thus saith the Lord. I am returned unto Zion. And will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof.
Because they're all
boys and girls. What thus saith the Lord of hosts.
Means very old.
Yeah, the old guys.
Don't say a word. I knew you were going to do that, Jackie.
She takes the shot.
I think she should not be allowed to read anymore.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Done.
Why the east country and the west country?
All over.
Everywhere.
They're nationwide. Bad. Would you like to read?
I would like to, but.
Good Lord.
No, thank you.
I'd like to.
I really can't see it well enough. I mean, and I'm almost. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness.
Now, we have to see that we are now dwelling in the midst of Jerusalem, in the midst of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is the reality that's always present, no matter where we are on the face of the earth.
Why does it say, I will call them, and they will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem?
Because he has called us. That's why we got here. That's the only reason we're here, because he has called us.
Yeah, it's a way of saying we didn't choose, he did.
Hello? Crystal,
so it's the same thing as
Wilbur.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built.
Now the temple now is built with living stones. See? It's no longer built with the stones in Jerusalem. It's made, now we are the lively stones of the temple.
For before these days there was no hire for men, nor any hire for beasts. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. And now I will not be unto the residue of this people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts.
Okay. You understand what he's saying here is universal. He's saying that there was no hire, no earnings, no real... there was nothing really that was real that you got paid for. It was all air. There was no hire. There was nor any hire for beasts, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction, for I set all men, everyone against his neighbor. I mean, you understand that? That's been the lot. That's the lot of humanity, and has been, always will be. There'll be a different cause every 5 minutes, every 5 years, there's always a different cause. But now, he will not be so unto the residue or the remnant or the tithe of the people. Because we are already in the New Jerusalem. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. So we are in this state now. For minds can be renewed to see it. Okay.
For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall be fruitful, and the ground shall be for increase, and the heavens shall give their dew. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong.
Okay, now, he's telling you, again, the readings that we'll get into, hopefully, one of them is, you do not fear what they fear. Do not, who's they? The whole human race. It's a whole different reality that now exists.
Okay. So the walls come down.
The walls that you think are there to protect you and to protect this city of Jerusalem are the walls that are keeping you from seeing the true Jerusalem, the true reality, the true eternity. Eternal life, you've got to hear this finally, eternal life isn't sometime in the future. Eternal life is the life that Christ lives in you now. Eternity is now.
For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and the house of Judah. Fear ye not.
Okay.
What again is the Lord of hosts must be such a big deal.
It's Yahweh Sabaoth. And the Lord of hosts means, it means Lord of everything. It means...
That's like his ultimate, from their point of view, that's his...
No, the ultimate is just I am. But there are 16 different titles.
Yeah.
And it's really it's the name that's illegal to pronounce. But the closest we can get is Yahweh. We can't say Jehovah because that was a trick the Jews played on everybody. But Yahweh, and then there's 16 different, and it's Yahweh Sabaoth, which means Lord of Hosts. It means that there is nothing that he isn't in control of. There's no thing, there's no ant that he isn't in control of. Okay?
These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the Lord, in the word of the Lord, imposed came unto me, saying.
Now, this is the interesting part. Lord, you hear this real carefully.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace.
Okay. The fast of the fourth month is what?
Esther.
No. The fast of the fourth month is the fast of Tammuz. That's one we're in. That's one we're celebrating Sunday. The fast of the fifth month is the fast of Av, and that's what we're celebrating.
In July.
The fast of the seventh month is the fast of Yom Kippur. And the fast of the tenth month is the fast of Esther. Are you with?
Okay.
But the idea is that the fast is turned into joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. I mean, that's what can happen when you see the meaning and why the fast. Then it's no longer a burden. Okay.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts: It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In these days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard the Lord. We have heard that God is with you.
It's kind of like the Shema when we think about the skirt and
the
should be for you as a
the qualifier for this is back at 9, that the people he's talking to are the people that hear in these days. This was all said when the foundation was laid. But now in these days, the people that hear this, and we hear it.
What are the 10 men?
Minyan. Oh. Minyan from, what it spiritually means is that they're minyan of Gentiles. So this was the idea. This was us. This was the 10.
What does the word mean, God with you? Is it Emmanuel?
It's Emmanuel in Hebrew. Emmanuel. God is, it really says God's within you. Now, go to Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see, and flow together. Thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Now, the word that I want you to pay special attention to is flow together. Mm-hmm. All of the time, wherever you are talking about in the scriptures, where it talks about the promises of God being resident, which this is, about where you're going to rise and shine and do-do-do-do-day, it's always talking about Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is on a mountain. How many, have any of you been to Jerusalem?
No.
Okay, well, it's high. You have to, you go always around these little mountains to get there, to get up real high. This is a word in Hebrew, flow together, and it just drives the rabbis crazy. Because it means the same thing of flowing water downhill. So they're going up to Jerusalem by flowing downhill.
Wow.
It just drives them crazy. They don't know how to do it. They don't know what to do with it. So most of the time they just ignore it. But we are flowing together. When we enter the rest, when we stop swimming. Remember we talked about the difference between law and grace? The whole world is swimming. And the strong swimmers, they swim for the farthest. The being in the sea is the law. You're swimming, trying to get it right, trying to do the right thing, trying to do your goal, trying to do your thing. And if you're swimming and you're tired and swimming and you look up and you see somebody floating on a raft, it really pisses you off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you try to yank them in.
Well, grace is sitting on the raft. Law is swimming. Now, they don't realize it because they don't pay any attention, but the ones that are swimming in the wrong direction. You understand? They're swimming upstream. The raft is going in the other direction. It's flowing down to up. To Jerusalem. The people in the water are trying to swim up to their Jerusalem. They're trying to meet the standards that they have set, or the standards of their Jerusalem. So they're swimming upstream. But they don't even notice that the people that are in the raft are going in the opposite direction.
Uphill.
No, the people in the raft are going downhill. The people in there swimming are trying to swim uphill.
Oh.
Now, all that God wants from us is to get on the raft. It doesn't matter what you label these little rafts or little swimmers. If you're swimming, you're swimming. If you're in a raft, you're in the raft. You understand? It doesn't matter what you label it. It doesn't matter what language it's in. It's the fact, it's an eternal act. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus Christ doesn't mean running around saying I'm Jesus. It's by the nature of him that no one cometh to the Father. Well, the raft, the name of the raft is Jesus Christ. And that's what we hope to celebrate. The seeing of that more clearly during this period of being between the straits. Okay?
Amen.
That's enough. Take a big guy.